You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, we've been teaching along the lines of miracles. And turn to Mark 16 first, and we'll just see where we get from there. A couple of weeks ago, I taught on what miracles do. In other words, they fix things. Everybody say fix things.
Fix things.
You know, God, the miracles of God and the healings in the Bible and the ones that are going on today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Restore things, fix things, and make things whole. That's often what the Bible says. It says this woman was made whole in Mark the 5th chapter. Thy faith hath made thee whole, Jesus said. Everybody say whole. So that means complete. It has that connotation. It has that idea. When you say something is whole, it's complete. And if it's not whole, it's incomplete. So she was incomplete as far as God's will for her life in her body before she got her miracle. When she got healed, she was complete or whole. That's an old King James word, an old English word, W-H-O-L-E, whole, to be made whole. And we use the same type of word or the same sounding word concerning your spirit when you're right with God. You are holy. Are you out there? And so something unholy is something that's not right with your spirit. Sin takes away from being holy. Sickness takes away from your body being whole. Make sense? In all of our terminology concerning sickness and disease and health and wholeness really is pretty explanatory. When someone's doing when someone's healed or healthy, we say they're doing well, they're doing okay. That's a good thing. And when they're sick, we say they're not doing too good, they're not doing well. You ever notice that? I mean, even people don't know the Lord say things like that. We know more than we think we do. I think much learning has made us mad. But actually, if we were honest about it, sickness is bad, healing is good. Oh, come on. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Think about that. What did he do when he went about? He went about healing. Didn't go about making people sick. He went about healing those who were oppressed of the devil. So when we think of sickness and disease, and we think about miracles and healing, actually healing is just correct things. They fix things. I mean, that's why you go to the doctor. That's why you take medicine. That's why you have surgery, because you're trying to fix something. Well, healing supernaturally does that. So what do miracles do? Why do we need them? Well, I'll tell you one simple reason why we need them, because man just can't do everything. Yeah. When I say man, mankind, you know, women, men, everybody. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for hospitals. But, you know, to be honest, there's not a building built anywhere in the world by man that more people die in than hospitals. Think about it. As far as just a building. Now, having said that, thank God for all the good they do. And we're for doctors, and we're for medicine, we're for hospitals. And they're trying to help people, which we're on the same side here. See, we believe in healing. That means we believe in doctors. We believe in healing. That means we believe in medicine. We believe in healing. We're for getting your body well. We believe that's a good thing. We believe that's what God wants. So if man can help in that area, we're for that. Are you with me? Yeah. I'm always amazed at people that maybe extreme healing or extreme, I don't want to say extreme faith because you can't believe too strongly, but let's say out of balance faith or out of balance churches that teach healing, they don't believe in medicine, they don't believe in doctors. It makes no sense. You ought to be for medicine and for doctors because we're trying to get people well. In fact, if you don't believe in healing, you should be against doctors and you should be against medicine. If you really think that God's making you sick and that God's really doing this for a purpose and God's working character out in you, then God forbid that you go to the doctor and try to get well. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. If you really think that God has a purpose and a plan and a design for this sickness and the disease that's taking you out, then God forbid you take medicine and spend your money to do it. Get yourself out of the will of God.
Yeah.
Are you out there?
Yeah.
So there's this huge imbalance you see in churches. Churches that are extremely against healing are really for medicines and doctors. And many churches that are, that I would call imbalanced in healing, are against doctors and medicine. It should be just the opposite. Are you out there? In fact, prosperity, think about that. If you believe in prosperity, then you ought to believe in work.
Yeah.
Hello. You ought to believe in going to work. You ought to believe in doing your job when you get there. Hello. Now, if you don't believe in prosperity and that bunch of name it, claim it, bless me club over, believes in prosperity, I don't believe in prosperity, I don't believe God wants to bless you, then what are you doing going to work? If you don't believe in prosperity, you need to quit your job. Don't take the paycheck. My Lord, that's God doesn't want you to prosper. He's against prosperity. Are you with me? We ought to all quit our jobs. Hello. But see, you'll still prosper then, even under this president. But anyway, that's another story altogether. See, we're just talking about being consistent. And when you talk about miracles and you talk about healings, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even in the book of Acts, if you'll follow Jesus and as he walks the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum and as he heals the sick and raises the dead and stops storms, all he's doing is just correcting things. He's fixing things. The same thing we all want and the same thing we all strive for, and the reason we have hospitals and the reason we have doctors, are you with me? The reason we try our best to make life easier and more convenient, that's what miracles do. Hallelujah. Miracles fix things. I mean, when he healed that man with a withered hand, it said he restored his hand whole like the other one. When eyes pop open and people see, that's what eyes are supposed to do. When cripples' legs get strength and all of a sudden they jump out of wheelchairs or throw their crutches away and start running and walking, and we're excited about the miracle, and as we should be, and we glorify God as we should, all we're seeing there is what legs are supposed to do, what our legs have been doing all that time, and their legs weren't. Yep. And they got a healing. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Yep. And the list just goes on and on and on. Healings fit. They fit creation. They have the mark of the Creator. They have the sin of heaven on them. When miracles and healings take place, we see normalcy. We see things being restored and made whole and come back to the way they should be. Eyes should see, ears should hear, legs should walk. Amen? Yes, amen. Mouths should talk and ears, you know, they should pop up. All these things are just, that's what we see. And so miracles are not weird. They're not strange. They're not, you know, some kind of intrusion, some kind of foreign thing that's happening. Actually, the foreign thing that's happening, the intrusion that's happened, is the sickness and the disease and the crippled legs and the blind eyes. All miracles do is fix it and make it right again. Woo! Are you out there, somebody? Amen. And if you're against that and don't believe in that, then why in the world are you working so hard to get that? Hello. Spending all that good money going down that hospital, getting yourself out of the will of God. And who wouldn't sell their home and car and everything they got to help their kids? Come on. That's all God's doing. He just wants us to trust him and believe him and put our faith in him. So, you know, primarily, first of all, miracles fix things. They make things right. And that's what we see all through the Scripture. And it shows God's compassion. It shows that God cares. You know, thank God for doctors that really have a concern for you, a good bedside manner. They take an interest in you. You know, women and men that have given their lives to serve, suffering, sighing, dying humanity through that arena, you know, of medicine. And we see their compassion. We see their passion. We have people that are policemen. We have people that are firemen that have the passion to help people that are in desperate straits and needs. People that go off to war to protect our homeland, soldiers. We honor people like that. It's a show of commitment to us. It's a show of compassion and love for us. Well, that's all in the world God's doing is showing us how much he loves us. Amen. Many times in the Bible it said Jesus was moved with compassion and healed their sick. Listen, God hurts with you. Don't you think God's behind your pain? He is behind your answer. And even when in the loss of a loved one, and I hate that. I hate that people die, but as long as we're in this earth, we're going to die because of Adam's sin. And until Jesus comes back, we're going to be going to a lot of funerals, and we're going to be going to a lot of hospitals. But there's no hospitals in heaven. There's no funerals in heaven. But I know this, that God grieves with us when we grieve, and he hurts when we hurt. He's not the one that took that child or took that mother or took that father. He received them. Thank God he did, but he didn't take them. Sin took them. The sin of the world, not their sin, the sin of the world. The sin of the world has taken all of us, if you want to know the truth. We're getting older and older and older, and I wish I could stop it. I just can't seem to stop it. Wrinkles start popping up, and I can't stop them. My body starts shifting and changing. I get that furniture disease. My chest falls into my drawers, you know. I get... But everything... Yeah. But one thing on a positive note, I will have a well-balanced ministry because my bubble is in the middle. You know what I mean? You know, I can honestly say I'm a full gospel preacher. But anyway, okay, let's quit. In Mark, the 16th chapter, I tell you to turn there. Let's talk about something else that miracles do. Of course, they fix things, and we all obviously see that, and they make things right. And so we ought to be for miracles. We ought to be for healing. They hadn't passed away. Don't kid yourself. Don't tell me they passed. Hey, you want to just ask anybody in here if they passed? It's too late. I'm sorry. I've already had too many of them. I've already experienced too many of them. Are you with me? I know what the Word says, and I also have experienced it in my life. I have seen the principle, and I have had the example in my life. We could go around this church and just have people stand up and testify to miracles. I remember Whitney. Remember when Whitney was born and the doctor said she wouldn't be normal. She wouldn't be able to open her hand. She'd never be able to think straight or talk or speak and graduate from high school and make great grades in school. And of course, Henry wanted to just, no, she's healed in Jesus' name. She's healed in Jesus' name. She's healed in Jesus' name. And the doctor would come back another day or two later and says, well, I don't know what happened to that hand, but it seems to be opening up. And I don't understand that, but it's opening up. I don't know what's going on there. And then she'd never walk. And all of a sudden, she starts walking and then she's never talking. Now you can't get her to be quiet. But anyway, you just, I mean, go tell them the miracles. See, we need miracles. Miracles actually, and healings actually confirm and testify to God's goodness and His existence and His love. If you notice, Jesus didn't just preach. He also healed people. And He didn't send the disciples out to just preach. He sent them out to heal people and to have miracles. And He told them to wait in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. He says, then you shall receive, be witnesses unto me in all the earth. And you know, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the uttermost parts of the earth. Our faith is not in a doctrine. Our faith is not in just a teaching. And I am a teacher. I believe in doctrine. I believe in teaching. I believe in having it straight and right. But our faith is not in a concept. It's not an idea. It's not in just a good teaching. Our faith is in the power of God to do what He said He'd do. I am a living witness to the power of God to change a person's life. I've experienced His power in my life. I didn't just adhere to a doctrine. I didn't just assent to a truth. I found Jesus. I accepted Jesus and He changed my life. I was in drugs, in jails, and didn't care about people, and He changed me. I am a miracle, and you are too. See, we believe in not just an idea. We believe in God's power. We believe in the reality of God. Hallelujah. And Paul even said that on more than one occasion, you know, that it's more than just a truth. It's more than just an idea. Our faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, is what he said. Woo, hallelujah. I love it. I believe God hears prayer. I believe He answers prayer. I believe God forgives sins. I believe God changes lives. I believe God can redeem you and pull you out of the mess you're in. I believe God can turn your life around. I believe He can heal your body. He can heal your marriage. He can heal your mind. He can get you on your feet again. Hallelujah. I believe God has the ability to do that. Hallelujah. I believe in His power to do that. And we're living proof of that. All of us are. Every one of us could testify to that. Of the miracle working power, the supernatural working power of God. I remember, there's Francine back there. I remember when Francine had a wreck years ago and it was so bad it threw her out of the vehicle, out onto the ground. And frankly, when the EMT got there, whoever pulled up, they covered her up with a sheet. They thought she had died. And one of the neighbors there was a neighbor out there around where she'd had the wreck, was walking back and forth praying and saw her move and hollered at the EMT to go check her. I just saw her move. And he went back and he pulled the sheet back and says, yes, she's moving. And they rushed her over to the hospital. And I remember Elias calling me and telling me the doctor said she wasn't going to make it. She's going to die. There's nothing we can do. And I remember telling Elias, well, at least we need to believe God for a miracle. I remember saying that. Whew. And we had to get a hold of Chris and Sissy, who had already left town. And my daughter-in-law is Elise and Francine's daughter. And so we miraculously got a hold of them. I mean, we got a hold of them. They didn't have a phone at that time. This is years ago. But somebody else had a phone that they were with, and they had just stopped at a store and got a hold of them and told them, get back to the church. We're going to take you over to the hospital, because they had gone the other direction towards Shreveport. And they met us back at the church, and we took them to the hospital. And every report was bad. All the doctors said, she's not going to make it. You remember this. I mean, she's not going to make it through the night. She's got too much swelling in her head. It's not going to happen. She's just not going to make it. They had the chaplain come in to get everybody ready, the family ready for her to die. And as we were driving over there, Sissy and Chris in the back seat said, tell me something good about my mama. And frankly, in the natural, I didn't know anything good. Everything was hopeless in the natural, but I determined we were going to believe God for a miracle. And I was praying in tongues. I never will forget, I was praying in tongues. I was driving a car, praying in tongues. And I was talking to God, and I said, God, you need to tell me something. Excuse me for being so emotional. It gets worse as I get older. I said, God, you need to tell me something. I don't want to lie to her. And in my spirit, I heard the voice of God saying she will live and not die. I heard that. I really heard that. I didn't make that up. I heard that. And so I turned around and I said, I remember, Sissy, you remember this. I said, I wouldn't lie to you. I said, Sissy, I would not lie to you. I know your mother's going to live. So we get to the hospital. There's the chaplain with the family. There's the doctor saying she's not going to live. There's no chance she's not going to make it. And I was saying, yes, she is. She's going to make it. I know she's going to make it. And we prayed, and they said, well, for some reason she made it through the night. We don't know, but she's not going to make it tonight. Next day, it's just one day after another. I mean, it was just one bad report after another bad report after another bad report. But I knew I'd heard God. I knew. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the supernatural. I believe I heard that in my spirit. I believe that more than I believe anything any doctor would say. And thank God for doctors. I'm for doctors. They're just telling you what they see in the natural. They're doing their job. They're doing the best they can do. And we appreciate that. We're not against doctors. Are you with me? You understand the way I'm saying this. But when you've heard God, and you know God can do what he says he can do, hallelujah, then you hang on to that. And so little by little, step by step, the doctors are amazed, and she made it another day, and she made it another week, and she made it another month. And it was a long time before she got out of the hospital, but she finally got out of the hospital, and there she is right there on the back row. Yeah. Hallelujah, a miracle of God. Hallelujah. But see, miracles confirm God. They confirm, they bear witness to God. In Mark the 16th chapter, y'all have found that, haven't you?
Yeah. Okay.
No, really, when you think about, you know, we're a church, we could just stay here all day and just talk about how God's moved in people's lives and pick out people and say, well, let me hear about your miracle and let me hear about your miracle. Now, you know, you can argue all day long about doctrine. You can argue all day long, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. But you're not going to convince Francine of that. You're not going to convince Henry and Wanda that God doesn't heal. Are you with me? You're not going to convince Henry that God doesn't save. I remember when Henry walked the aisle. About the second year, I think, we started the church. Came down the aisle just crying like a baby, like I'm doing up here right now. And turned his life over to God. And became a committed Christian. A believer in Jesus Christ. And been that way ever since. Hallelujah. Too late, don't tell me he doesn't save. I already know he does. He saved me. I know he saved Henry and others we could just point out. Don't tell me he doesn't heal. It's too late. I've already seen it. I've already seen it. I see it in the Word. I could point people out today. He's still healing today. I think of Travis. How many times have the doctors called everybody in? Travis not going to make it through the night. Get the family together. I know because as a pastor, I've driven down there with the family to meet with the family because the doctor said he's not going to make it. Still alive today. Hallelujah. Kidney transplant, pancreas transplant. Still alive today, and he lives by the power of God. That's how he's alive. To the amazement of doctors who doing their best. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So Mark 16.
Go ahead.
15 says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Every creature, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then it goes on and says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Follow them that believe. So we're believers. These things follow us. Because in our normal course of events, things happen and we pray. Are you with me? And when we pray and really believe God, signs follow. Amen? That's just the way it is. That's the way it is the life of a Christian. It should be that way. We see needs and there's lots of them. We see suffering people and there's a lot of them. We see hurting people and there's a lot of them. Desperate people, desperate lives. I remember when Elias called me how desperate he was. The desperation, the fear in his voice. I remember that. I remember barely able to talk, telling me that she's going to die. The doctor's going to die. Desperation. Well, it's time for a miracle. We need a miracle, don't we? That's time for us as Christians to hit our knees and pray. You know, you don't give up when things get bad. I think it's amazing that even in an emergency room, when someone dies, you know, they don't walk away. They grab the paddles. They give everything they got. I mean, it looks like a beehive activity when someone dies at the moment they do. They don't give up. That's when they pull out all the stops. That's when they try everything they got left to try. That's when they give it everything they got. See, we don't need to give up when it gets bad. That's when we need to throw in. As we say in East Texas, whole hog. You know, we need to get in there and believe God. We need to pull out every scripture we got. We need to stand on every promise we know. We need to get everybody we know to pray with us and believe God. Are you with me? Throw everything we got into it. Believe God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, he says this, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. And says they'll drink a deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. Now, everybody say if. I like that.
Yeah.
If they drink a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall take up serpents. And then it says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, all that happens in Jesus' name. These are signs that follow believers. These things follow us. And then he says, the Lord was taken up, and it says, they went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I love that. Everybody say confirming.
Confirming.
Confirming. Okay, think about it. Confirming what? Confirming the word with signs following. In fact, if you look, notice in your Bible, in italics, it says, they went everywhere preaching, the Lord working with them. The word them is in italics. You see that? Because that was added in. That means that they tried to make sense of that sentence. There's no Greek word for that. It was just added in. But if you took the word them out, it says the Lord working with and confirming the word. Because God works with and confirms the word. And how does he confirm the word? With signs following. So what do miracles do? They confirm the word. Amen? They actually bear witness to the word. Now, if we pray, you know, for 32 years here, no one ever got saved, no one ever got healed, and a miracle never happened, well, we might wonder if what we're saying is right. Yeah. There should be some testimonies of what God is doing. That's why I love the bulletin. We're putting those testimonies in there and of people getting healed and set free and answered to prayers, because those are confirmations of the word.
Yeah.
They bear witness to what God has done.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's what you see over and over in the scripture, and it's what you see over and over in Wills Point International Outreach Church. You see confirmations to the word that is preached. Hallelujah. Think about this. In John the second chapter, you don't have to turn there. It says, many believed on him when they saw the miracles that he did. Isn't that interesting? In other words, they heard him, but a lot of them believed when they saw the miracles that he did. And when you start hearing of people getting saved, and you start hearing of people coming out of drugs and jails and, you know, just sinful lifestyles, and they get turned around and God saves them and gets them back on their feet again, I tell you, that's a draw. That is a draw for people. And when you hear of people having answered prayers, and we need to glorify God. Everybody say glorify God. Notice this in the scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When they would glorify God was when someone would get healed or somebody was raised from the dead. You never notice. Now, we use that terminology today backwards in some churches. But you never see a woman with the issue of blood glorifying God for her sickness. That's foreign to the Scripture. That's not in the Scripture. Are you with me? You never see a blind man leaping and shouting and glorifying God because he's blind. You never see a cripple doing that. In fact, it was just the opposite. It was always when the healing took place that they glorified God. You ever notice that? They leaped, they shouted, they were amazed and glorified the Lord when they saw this man that was paralyzed healed. Over and over you see this, the glory that God gets, which the word glory just means honor, if you want to know the truth. It's translated honor. So when I glorify God, I honor God. And I should bring glory to God. Amen. And did you know answered prayers glorify God? When I get out of a mess, that glorifies him?
Yeah.
Not the mess doesn't glorify him. Now, I know we think people that are in the hospital have got to witness to people and everything, and that's great and well and good, but the sickness was not what God did. The sickness was not what glorified him. The witnessing is what glorified him.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, so we need to look at sickness differently. It's not a good, it's a bad. Anybody's been sick or anybody has a child that's sick or born with some disease or whatever, you know, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. And you do everything you can to alleviate that problem, help that problem. And I guarantee you, when they get to heaven, they're not going to have that. And you are not. You and I are not going to have that. Are you with me? And we ought to help suffering, dying humanity. We ought to reach out to them. We ought to pray for people for miracles to happen. Does that mean every prayer we pray gets answered? No, because I'm not perfect. Are you out there? God's word's true. Sometimes I'm believing like I should. Sometimes I'm not. It's not the end of the world. I'm not a bad person because I don't get a prayer answered. Are you out there? But God's good. Amen. His word's true. Amen. He's not the problem. He's the answer. And every answer that comes glorifies him. Every answer. An unanswered prayer does not glorify God. Oh, where we get this idea? That God will sometimes say yes, sometimes say no, sometimes wait a while. The Scripture says all the promises of God are yes and amen. If we're believing, it's always going to be yes. But for some reason, I know this is hard to believe, but you're not perfect. I hate to inform you that. I hate to tell you that. But you're just not perfect. You're working at it, and you know you haven't achieved what I've achieved to here. Okay. No, I'm not perfect either. If something's wrong, somebody missed it, it's me, not him. And I'm just not there yet, not where I ought to be. I'm talking about you believing for something, you know, something that you're praying for. But God gets glory when you get an answer. To pray and not get an answer, people could do that all day long. You don't even have to pray to not get an answer. But to get an answer, oh my, to get an answer glorifies God. To be forgiven, that's what glorifies God. To get your life turned, that's what glorifies. To live holy, that glorifies God. That honors God. To overcome sin, to let the world know that you can actually stay married and keep your marriage together in this world that we live in, that glorifies God.
Yeah.
To love instead of hate, are you with me? That glorifies God. What does glorify God? Does sin glorify him or does holiness glorify him? That's pretty easy to answer. Holiness does. Does evil glorify him or does good glorify him? Well, good. Does sickness glorify God, really? Not biblically. Or does healing? In the Scripture, healing always glorifies God. You out there? That's why God bore witness to the disciples with signs and wonders. That's why he says here that he confirmed the word with signs following. We as a church ought to be believing for miracles. We ought to believe for healings. Amen? We ought to believe for good marriages. We ought to believe for holy living. We ought to believe for all the good things that God says, amen, in order to glorify him. And it's not strange. It's not weird. You know, some people philosophically have a problem. They'll say, well, I just don't believe all that. Whatever is. Whatever happens, happens. And we live under fixed laws, and there's nothing we can do to change that. Well, that would be true to a degree, but if you can imagine us being in a fishbowl, can you do this for a moment? I understand in the fishbowl, the laws of the fishbowl rules. But if somebody outside the fishbowl puts food in there, or somebody outside the fishbowl rearranges the furniture, Once the food's in there, it's going to obey the rules. Once the hand comes in and fixes something, it's going to continue to operate under the rules of the fishbowl. Miracle signs and wonders is just God sticking his hand in our fishbowl. Are you out there? That's really all it is. See, he's not limited to this earth. There's rules down here. I understand that, and things operate. And that's why I say once he comes in and fixes something, it operates under the rules. Once legs are healed, they walk like every other leg. Once he does the miracle and comes in my fishbowl and opens my eyes, I see like everybody else sees. The fishbowl rules do take over. Isn't that right? And so God hasn't violated any natural law. He just fixed something, and now it's still operating under the same natural law that he ordained. That's not complicated. You need a healing. You need a miracle. You need a peace. You need joy. You need a financial miracle. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. What are the things that you need? Well, it's not unusual. It's not weird. It's not strange of you to believe God and ask God to step in and fix this thing. And you know what's so good when it's all done? It glorifies him. It honors him. It points to him. When people see our good works or miracles or signs or wonders, they glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Amen? Hey, turn over to Hebrews 2 real quick. This helping anybody? I'm not trying to work philosophic here. It just makes good. This is just common sense, which the longer I live, is I find out it's not really all that common. Hebrews 2, notice what it says in verse 4. I quote this. Hebrews 2, verse 4 says, God also bearing them witness, the apostles, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, many miracles, and with gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Think about it. God bore witness. God confirmed his word in that respect. And in Acts 2:22, notice what it says here. You may just want to write notes if you can't turn that quick. It says, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Everybody say, approved of God. Now, how did God approve of Jesus? By wonders, signs, and miracles. So miracles, signs, and wonders bear witness. They put God's stamp of approval, and they confirm God's word. Yeah. And lastly, but not leastly, turn to 1 Corinthians. Is that where I want to go? You know, it's wonderful to have notes. It's a challenge when you don't. 1 Corinthians in the second chapter. Y'all ready for this? Well, you need to tell your face. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter. Listen closely. This is Paul speaking. He said, I, brethren, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. Is that good? Notice the while you're there, look at the fourth chapter. Let me get my iPad turned over there. The fourth chapter. In the 20th verse, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. See, that's what separates us from other religions. See, under the Islamic faith, you don't have to have miracles. There aren't any miracles. In fact, Muhammad didn't do any miracles. Are you with me? Buddhism, they don't even believe in miracles. It's more like a philosophy than a religion. But Christianity, no, that's not going to work with Christianity, because Christianity is about miracles. Christianity is about a virgin birth. Christianity is about a man that came out of the grave alive. Christianity is about healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. Are you with me? Christianity is filled with miracles. The new birth, the new creation, you being saved, that's a miracle. We believe that God made everything out of nothing, ex nihilo, as they say in Latin, out of nothing. He spoke the word and the whole world came into existence. That's miraculous. Are you with me? Christianity, you separate miracles from Christianity, you don't have Christianity. Are you with me? And why there's such a push or a move to get miracles and healings out of the church, when that's the very thing that established the church and brought the church into being, I don't know. That was the thing the Pharisees got on Jesus about, the scribes got on Jesus about, was him doing miracles. I'll tell you, we need miracles, amen? Amen. We need them because we got some fixing that needs to be done. And I don't mean just fixing to go somewhere, as we say in Texas. We got things that need, I don't know about you, but I got things that need to get fixed. In my life, I've had to get miracles to fix the healings to fix things in me. Fix things in the church, fix things in the marriage, fix things in the family, fix things in my body, fix things in my finances. The list is endless. I need to pray and believe God, and the world needs to see God moving in my life. So they'll have hope, and they'll run to God, and they'll turn to God. Woo! Are you out there? I need it because I need things fixed, and I tell you, the gospel is filled with it to confirm God's word. Proof of the pudding is in the eating, and the eating's good. The water's fine. Y'all jump on in. It's good. Let me testify. Amen. Hey, how many of you ever received a miracle or ever been healed?
Amen.
Ever had an answer prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's everybody in here. I mean, that's just every single one of us. Isn't it wonderful? I think we need to ramp it up, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think we need to come unhooked. I think we need more miracles.
Yeah.
I think we need to believe for more, pray more, stand on God's word more. Quit waiting around until it just gets to be a disaster. As soon as it gets a little off, start praying. Amen. Let's live our life not just believing in miracles, but trusting God for miracles.
Yeah.
Not just believing in healing, but trusting God for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just believing in that God does prosper us, but trusting God to prosper us. Not just believing in a good marriage, but trusting God for a good marriage. Not just believing we can overcome sin, live right, and live holy, but trusting God to live holy. Are you with me? Not just believing that God can use us to reach people and get people to come to Jesus, but actually trust God to reach people. Pray to touch lives and change lives. Amen? And then we'll have some evidences. We'll have some witnesses. We'll have some approval from heaven called miracles. Amen?